Yeah, I'll explain the question. So the situation was as follows. There were a group of yeshiva boys who the Nazis wanted to kill. And everybody knew that they were going to kill this entire group of yeshiva boys. And there was one person who had some connection with some of the people on the inside, some of the Nazis. And, his name was, easier if we had his name, Rav Avraham, no. Yeah. No, Rav David Itzkovitz. Rav David Itzkovitz had some connection with the Nazis or some of the people on that side, and he was able, possibly, to go to the authorities and try to save this entire group of yeshiva boys. The problem was that anybody who was viewed as trying to save other Jews was obviously going to get killed, or possibly going to get killed. So this Rav David Itzkovitz, there was a very good chance if he went to try to free this whole group of yeshiva boys, they wouldn't free the yeshiva boys, but instead they would take him and they would kill him also. So he was asked to go and try to do something because people knew that he had some connection with some of the people on the inside, and that he possibly would be able to free the entire group of yeshiva boys. So the question that he asked Rav Ushery was, does he have to, or can he, go and put himself into a situation where he is entering into a safek sakana, a potential danger, right? He doesn't know. It's possible that he'll go in there, they'll say yes, and everybody will be saved, in which case he'll save a whole group of people. It's possible that he'll go in there and they'll say no, but they'll allow him to walk out. And it's possible that they'll say no, and they'll keep him and kill him as well. So he's potentially putting himself into a potentially dangerous, life-threatening situation, but he's doing so in order to save other lives. So his question was, is he allowed to do that, or does he have to do that, right, or neither? That was his question. Better? A little clearer than as I explained it. So that was his question. So Rav Ushery basically starts with quoting a Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, how do we know minayin l'roes chaveiro shu tovea b'nahar? If you see somebody drowning in the sea, or if you see a group of bandits running after somebody, shu chayev l'hatzilo, how do we know that a person who sees that happening is chayev, he's obligated to save that person drowning in the sea? Talmud lomer lo sa'amod al dam re'echa. The Pasuk says, don't stand idly by when you are for your brother's blood. So obviously, a person would have the obligation to jump into the river and try to save that person, try to get involved or convince the bandits to let him go. On the other hand, we have a Gemara on the next, that's on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, then on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara, the famous Gemara about the big three Averos. Right? The big three Averos, so if somebody tells you, do this Avera or you will be killed. So the Gemara says, Yavor v'alye yihare. You should commit the crime, commit the Avera, and not get killed, except for three. Except for Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichus Damim. Except for idol worship, improper relations, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichus Damim, and killing somebody else. And the Gemara explains that the reason for that is, at least for Shvichus Damim, right, for why, if somebody says, put the gun to your head and says, shoot Plony, otherwise I'll shoot you, that you have to allow yourself to be killed. The Gemara explains, basically because, the words of the Gemara is, Mi yemar de dama didach sumak tfei. Who says that your blood is redder? Dilma dama de ahu gavra sumak tfei. Maybe the other person's blood, who he's telling you that you have to kill, maybe his blood is redder than yours. Meaning, maybe his life is more important than yours, maybe his is more significant than yours, more worthwhile than yours, and therefore, you don't have the opportunity or the power to make that decision of who should die, me or him. So therefore, we say, just sit back and don't do anything. That's the basic idea. Sit back and don't do anything, because otherwise, You will be making the decision. You'll be putting it into your own hands, making the decision. And who says that your blood is redder than his? Yeah.
What's the problem? Is there any clarification as to, it could not be inactive, right? That's just standard. Would this say anywhere what kind of actions you can take or should take relative to those something? I mean, there's a difference. I mean, if you're going to jump in front, push someone out of the way and jump from the oncoming car, right? You're, that action
is so good.
Yourself in danger.
Good.
You just scream and tell someone to get out of the way. Their car's coming. You don't put yourself in danger, but, you know, not
good.
Standing on either.
Exactly. That's what Rav Ashri thought. Rav Ashri says, he says, in light of these two Gemaras, good. So we know Lo Sama Lo Dam Re'echa means don't stand idly by, right? And therefore, of course, Rav David Iskovitz should go and try to save this group of Yeshiva Bachrim because he'd be standing idly by if he didn't do anything. On the other hand, he says, but wait a second. If it's true about somebody else, that if somebody puts a gun to your head, and says to you, go kill Plony or you will die, we say, die and don't kill Plony because maybe his life is more important than yours, so wouldn't we just say the same about you? Meaning, maybe don't get involved in a situation where you're going to lose your life. Right? He shouldn't get involved in a situation where his life is going to be lost because maybe his blood is redder than the other person's. Right? We say it about the other person, that you shouldn't make the decision to take his life in place of yours, because maybe his blood is redder than yours. But why don't we say the same thing about yourself, right? That if you have a decision, so who says that your blood, that his blood is redder than yours, if you have the opportunity to stay out of it, so let them die without you getting hurt. I think that's what you're saying. If somebody's shooting something, right? So you see a bullet flying towards somebody, so lo sam or adam re'echa, not standing idly by, does that obligate me to jump in front of the bullet? Right, because otherwise I'll be standing idly by. Or do we say no? Jumping in front of the bullet will be putting my life in danger. So if I'm not allowed to do something to say, well, you're, why should I say your blood is redder than mine? So let me die in place of you. If I'm standing back, somebody has the gun to my head, and they're the ones who are active, I'm passive in that type of situation. So then I understand. The Gemara says, don't do anything. Right? But in a situation like this, where you would actively be putting yourself in danger, so apply the same svara. Who says that his life is, that the other person's life, who you're trying to save, maybe his, who said his blood is redder than your blood, that you should actively put yourself in a situation of danger to try to save the other group of people, or other person. So he answers one way, I thought you could answer another way. Right, that's his claim, and therefore he says so. Therefore, he shouldn't get involved. Right? That's his first havamina. So, what could you answer? Right, there are two possible answers. One that he gives, and another one that I thought of. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'll tell you mine first, because that one's probably more questionable. So, that one is, I thought that this svara makes sense. Right, don't get involved. I don't have to jump in front of your bullet. Right. Because the same way I can't say, shoot him, let me shoot him and don't shoot me, I don't have to jump into your bullet, right? It should work in both ways, that the passive one should always have to die. So that would be true when staying out of it will one person will die, right, in light of, or as opposed to me. It's one versus one. But in this case, it's this one person, and there's a whole group of people who possibly could be saved. Right? So yes, when it comes to one person, we don't say his blood is redder than mine, my blood is redder than his, so, you know, I'll choose who dies. Right? In that case, we would say, let him take his bullet, you stay out of it, because maybe your life is more important. But if the guy's gun is to your head, right, and he says, let me shoot you or shoot Plony, so then maybe his life is more important, you do nothing. But if an entire group of people whose lives you could save, so then wouldn't we say their lives are, at least cumulatively, more important and significant than mine? Right? I, one person, can I assume that we would say, yes, save the group in place of you? Right? Like the cases of, and we'll talk about this more next week, the cases of, you know, when a person sees a grenade about to explode, right? So he should a person jump on the grenade to save the entire group, or should he take it and throw it, you know, somewhere else? So in that case, do we say that, well, you're saving an entire group of people here, right? I could run and try to get out of here, but then a whole group of people will die. But if I jump on it, then I'll be saving a whole group of people, and only I will die. So again, maybe you would say that, well, cumulatively, there's a whole group of people here, so yeah, their blood is redder than mine because they have so many more of them. So in this case, maybe you would say, yeah, maybe he should get involved. And this is far of saying, don't make the decision of whose life is more significant. Don't make that for, you know, don't make that, let it be made by somebody else. So maybe that wouldn't apply here. That's what I thought, just to get rid of this far. Rav Ashri writes something else. Rav Ashri writes that, and he says, maybe there's a difference between a situation of vadai sakana, of definite sakana, and definite danger, life danger situation, as opposed to a suffix, as opposed to a situation of death, which this case is, right? In a situation where you're sure, right? If I jump in front of this guy's bullet, I am sure that I'm putting myself in danger. So in that case, we would say, stay out of it. Right? Because who says his life is more important than yours? But in this situation here, where Rav David Itzkevitz has the opportunity to save the entire yeshiva, and he's not necessarily putting his life in danger. He's not jumping on the grenade. He's going to talk to the officer to try to convince them not to kill this group of yeshiva boys. But he's not and his life might be endangered when he gets there, and they might decide to kill him also, but it's not for sure. It's not a vadai sakana that he's putting himself into, it's a safek sakana. It might be dangerous, it might be a life-threatening situation, but it might not be. So he explains that that's why this svara of don't jump in front of the other guy's bullet, the same way you can't turn around and shoot him when the gun is to your head, that might not apply in a situation of suffix. If the dangerous situation that you're getting yourself into is only a suffix sakana, that's only a possible life-threatening situation, but not for sure, then this svara would not follow through. It wouldn't answer the question. So the question is, what do we do, right? So he was back to square one. So what should be done in this situation? So there's a Gemara that sounds like one way, a Gemara that sounds like the other way, like all good questions. The Gemara in Makos, the Mishnah in Makos, right? This is appropriate for this week's Parsha. At the end of this week's Parsha, we read about the Arei Miklat. Right, that if a person kills the shogeg, if a person accidentally kills somebody, the relatives of the one who was killed are going to want to kill this guy, even though he did it by accident. So the Torah tells them, you have a safe haven, go to the Ir Miklat. The Ir Miklat, which is a safe haven, you're allowed to go live there, and when the Kohen Gadol dies, that's when you can come out. But until the Kohen Gadol dies, stay in the Ir Miklat. Right? And in the Ir Miklat, the Goel Hadam, the relatives of the person who was killed, are not allowed to go in there. They're not allowed to go kill him in there. But if the person who killed by accident, right, Reuven, the classic case of the Rashi quotes is, Reuven gets up on a ladder, he falls off the ladder, and he kills Shimon. Right? So Shimon's relatives want to kill Reuven for killing Shimon, even though he did it by accident, he just fell off the ladder. So Reuven can go and run to the Ir Miklat. Let's say Reuven, and once he's in the Ir Miklat, Shimon's relatives can't touch him. They can't kill him, they can't touch him. Let's say Reuven leaves the Ir Miklat for some reason. He goes home, he goes to visit. So at that point, then the relatives of Shimon would be allowed to then go kill him. They would go kill him, but he's no longer safe. So therefore, he doesn't leave the Ir Miklat until the Kohen Gadol dies. Once the Kohen Gadol dies, he's allowed to leave the Ir Miklat. So the Mishnah in Makos says that he can't even go out, right? Reuven, who's in the Ir Miklat because he killed Shimon by accident, he can't leave in order to go and testify in court for mammon, right, for money, a monetary case. He can't go testify in court for a mitzvah case. He can't even go testify in court for a case of nefashos, where they are judging somebody, whether somebody is chayav misa, whether somebody deserves to die, and he has eyewitness that this person is innocent, he's still not allowed to leave the Ir Miklat to go to the court to testify. And even then the Mishnah says, even if the entire Jewish nation needs him, like he's a great general of the army, still, he's not allowed to leave. Eino yotzei misham la'olam. He can't leave. Because the Pasuk says, asher nos shama, that he goes and runs there. Sham tehe diraso, that's where he should live. Sham tehe misaso, that's where he should die. Sham tehe kviraso, that's where he should be buried.
It's always been a written testimony. Why couldn't the...
You know, in halacha, you can't.
Really?
Yeah, mipihem, because the Pasuk says mipihem. So the Gemara learns mipihem, velo mipik tzava, and not from their writing.
Why can't you take all the witnesses
to take them to the end and
they go apart? Eight mipi.
Two witnesses to take from him? I don't know.
Well, you could do a court road trip. You
know, court road
two
trip.
Two hours in the bus and have it in the airway, one
right. But he can't leave. Maybe, but he can't leave. Right? The Mishnah is saying that he can't leave. That's what the Mishnah is trying to explain. The question is, why can't he leave? Right? Why is he not allowed to leave?
Sacrifice his life for somebody else.
Oh, right. So that's what. So the Mishnah doesn't say that.
That's the implication.
So the Rambam does say that. The Rambam actually says it explicitly. The Rambam. Sorry, wrong side. The Rambam actually puts in, when quoting this halacha, we know that the Rambam, when he quotes halachas, he's generally, he says, he's quoting just from the Gemara. He quotes the Gemara. So it's a chiddush when he adds anything. So the Rambam puts in, he quotes this case, he shouldn't leave, he's not allowed to leave, even if everybody needs him. Eino yotze misham la'olam, till the Kohen Gadol dies. V'im yotze, but if he leaves, the Rambam explains, Hitir atzmo lemisa, and he's allowing himself to be killed, right? Because now he's putting himself in the hands of the relatives of Shimon, who are going to try to kill him. So the Rambam is implying, like Chaim said, that you can't leave because you're putting your life in danger, or at least in potential danger, right? It may be that you can elude the relatives of Shimon for the rest of your life, but there's also a chance that if they find you, they're going to kill you. So you're putting yourself in potential in a potential life-threatening situation by leaving by leaving the Ir Miklat, even if it's to go and save somebody else's life by testifying on his behalf that he's innocent in the crime that they want to put him to death for. And yet, the Torah says, or the Mishnah says, don't leave.
There's something interesting to that scenario, though. What's interesting is the person that runs the Ir Miklat for self-preservation.
Right.
Right? Whereas the other scenarios where you're talking about, you're taking a bullet for somebody, it's the exact opposite. One is you're looking out for yourself, whereas another is looking out for somebody else.
Right.
So it doesn't really...
So the question is, can I get involved? In this case, our case, right? Let's think of this Rav David Itzkovitz, who wanted to get involved. Is he allowed to go and get involved?
He wanted to.
He was asking the Shiloh. He said, Rav Ashri, what should I do? Right? And, well, that's a good question. Does he want to? Does it matter if he wants to? Is he allowed to get involved? Right? So you're right. It does sound like it's not taking a bullet, right? It's not jumping in front of the bullet, but it's the same type of situation where you are getting yourself involved. I can sit back, right? Rav David could just sit back and not do anything, and he would be safe for the moment, right? At that time, nobody was safe. But he would be safe for the moment. He wouldn't be involved in this case. And the yeshiva bachram would have been killed.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right; it's not exactly the same. He is there for self-preservation in the Ir Miklat. The question is, can he leave? Right? His being in the Ir Miklat is like this Rav David Itzkovitz not getting involved in the situation, staying in his house while the Germans were going to kill this group of yeshiva guys, yeshiva boys. Right? So you're right; it's different than the case of jumping in front of a bullet. But here, he's in the Ir Miklat and he's safe. So don't go out. Not only does he not have to go out, right? If you have Aedis, we know. If you have Aedis and you don't tell it, so that's a problem also. But here the Mishnah says you can't go out. Don't go out. Don't go to court to testify. And the Rambam says because you're putting yourself in a life-threatening situation.
But he's going to testify on a case not related to
his. Not related to his. Somebody else's case where he knows that Levi is trying... they're trying Levi to kill. They want to kill Levi because they're claiming he committed a murder. And Reuben says, "I know he didn't commit the murder. I was there. He wasn't the one who committed the murder. He knows it."
Reuben,
he's got a good crowd.
First, he had an accidental.
Yeah, don't hang out with Reuben.
Yeah, witnessing someone else's murder.
Right. Well, that's the case.
Yeah, they just thought he was just with the person. He had nothing to do.
Right, he was driving by.
It was Reuben.
Yeah, he knows he didn't do it. It wasn't him. Right. So, but in that case, he's trying to leave in order to save somebody's life, and the Mishnah says, don't. So there is one possible, right, according to this, it should be usher to get involved, for a person to enter into a potentially life-threatening situation, even if it's to save somebody else's life. It would be usher. The Mishnah seems to say, don't leave. The question is, can you distinguish between Ir Mikla, staying in the Ir Mikla, and a regular case, right? There are two ways to understand an Ir Mikla, right? The person, Reuven, kills by accident, right? What's his punishment? What's Reuven kills by accident. Reuven kills on purpose. What's his punishment?
Death.
Reuven kills by accident. What's his punishment?
Exile.
Meaning?
He's stuck in the
Ir Mikla for the rest of his life. So what is the Ir Mikla?
They still have to do Torah. They still keep Kept Torah and
Mitzvahs
in the
Ir Mikla. Yeah, 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 yeah. But what is the
Ir Mikla?
A place of refuge? Or
a
place of punishment? Right? Is the Ir Mikla a place of refuge? Or is it also a place, or also, it could be both, a place of punishment?
It's a place of refuge.
It's a place of refuge.
So
what's the punishment?
Only if the victim.
So what's his punishment?
He
has to stay in the Ir Mikla. So it's a punishment. It's not just a place of refuge.
But it's not a punishment. It's
a way
for
him to save his life.
It's a place of refuge. So he's not punished for killing by accident.
Well, the question is, if the person that he killed doesn't have any family, things like that,
he has to go.
Does he have to go? Or if the victim's family is not going to take a revenge killing on him,
should he go? Right.
Well, you have to have visitors, and
sure.
You can leave your mikvah anytime you want, but that's your risk.
Well, no, the mission says don't.
No, but it's theory, though. I don't think that it's not like that.
There's no wall around it.
Right.
It's not Mexico.
I think they were walled cities. Weren't they already walled cities, supposedly?
Possibly. I guess that would make sense. They should be fortified cities.
Yeah.
You shouldn't let the Goal Adam in.
Yeah. So there's.
So yeah, I think a person would have to go to the Ir Mikla, even if there was no Goal Adam.
Like, see,
weren't
these revenge killings so prevalent that
I think you had to. I think you had to go.
Even
if there was no family
the
member.
The revenge killing is even worse than the accidental kill.
Yeah. That there's an intent. There's a hunt.
And revenge killing is an intent.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Of
course it is.
You can get revenge.
On an accident?
I don't have a chumash.
Where?
The chumash?
The source says you can take revenge.
That's what
Shoftim
is for.
Let him get his punishment. What's his punishment? So what's this guy's punishment?
His
what's Reuven's punishment?
I mean,
he has to stay in the Ir Mikla.
Yeah.
But the Goel gets his revenge. Is he there?
So I have to.
Are they like police or something? Like who's next?
I guess
so.
I would say absolutely. That's murder. That's not right. It's murder. Nobody says you can rationalize and call it revenge, but it doesn't.
Why is Torah giving away? Why is Torah making okay for you? Why is Torah giving away this? Did you protect it from the Goel Adam?
Because they're protecting you who committed something by accident. They're not protecting the Goel Adam. They're saying the Goel Adam because they don't want the Goel Adam to commit the sin.
If there's two Adam and A Adam, the Goel Adam will get killed now.
If there's two
Adam, the Goel Adam will get killed.
Where is it? Are you walking around the restaurant all the time?
Yeah.
Maybe you.
No, he is allowed to. He's allowed to. Plus success.
Allow
what? Ain lo dam. The Goel Hadam is allowed to kill him.
Yeah.
Matza also goel hadam mechutz legvul ir mikoto. Let's say the goel hadam, meaning the family members, relatives of Shimon, find Reuben outside of the ir miklat. The ratzach goel hadam is haroteach, and the goel hadam kills the roteach. Ein lo dam. He has no translation. Has no blood guilt.
How could that be? I don't understand. That's
a question.
You have one of the questions. You know the expression of two wrongs don't make a right, but certainly when something intentional, I would think is worse than accidental.
Right.
So when people run to our mikvah, somebody's going back to chop some wood, and the head of the axe flies off, and
yes,
that's
the
reason why somebody should go and take you out, right?
Yeah.
When you're driving, you're not be talking.
Yeah, that's what the pasuk says. That's what the pasuk says. It's a question as to why. You're right. It's a good question. I don't know.
That's another shear.
When we learn, about Goel Adam, murder, right? We learn murder. It's a good question because he killed somebody. He killed somebody. He needs to be. He killed somebody. He should have been careful.
Can we explain the difference between the Rambam and the Mishnah that way? That the Rambam might be talking, because the Rambam adds on a specific reason that he's not allowed to go because he's clean flesh and jeopardy.
Yeah.
To only apply a case where all they have done are after him. Otherwise, he could potentially go. The Mishnah is saying that no, in all cases, regardless of the goal they have done are after him, he can't go regardless.
Right.
More as a punishment as opposed to a lifeline.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. And the Rambam would claim, I would assume the Rambam would claim that he's explaining the Mishnah.
Okay.
So the Rambam, I assume, would claim he's explaining the Mishnah. So, you know, but you're right. Maybe somebody else would disagree and give a different explanation of the Mishnah and say that it would be limited. Limited to a case where the Mishnah is only talking about a case where the Goel Adam is after, which is not after. And
what's the chachma behind it? And is there statute of limitations on Goel Adam?
Yeah, when the Kohen Gadol dies.
No, but okay, so then let's.
Then he can't kill
him. What does Kohen Gadol have
to do with it? Well, we went over that.
It's because he has to die. He has to daven for his generation.
Okay,
talks about.
So you're up painting
we'll learn
on Makos. A ladder.
One year we'll learn
right?
Makos or something.
I think this is one of the cases. You're
we'll
up painting on a ladder.
Go through it.
This is
all as far as the Makos.
Right?
Painting.
You're up painting on a ladder.
Okay.
And somebody still walks around, whatever. Let's say the ladder gives way, you fall down, you crush somebody.
Yeah.
Okay? That person dies. That Shmendrick decided to walk under your ladder, right? And the ladder gives out.
He's no.
You crush the ladder. You crush the person.
You're no smarter than him by standing on top of a ladder like that. If he shouldn't have walked under it.
Well, you're painting it. You lose your.
I'm saying if it's not a good ladder, then it's not a good ladder.
Well, they say you lose your balance.
Oh.
The ladder trips. Let's go that way. Okay. And then you have to run to your mikvah. 20 years later.
Yeah, the Kohen Gadol dies. You're allowed
to. Kohen Gadol's alive.
Oh.
Okay.
Sorry.
You're telling me it should still be as fresh within you on something that's clearly an accident. That
something
is
a relative? It's possible. It's possible.
I'm sure it's possible. I don't understand how something like that, how you carry. I mean, isn't that the whole point? Is it's the anger that you're giving them.
Are you trying to incite somebody like to kill off of your relatives by accident?
If you want to use that, I'll give you a list. But that came out of your mouth. I would imagine that there's levels of severity in things.
Yeah, it could be.
You know, that I can't imagine why something early on would, you know,
why the person would still be upset about it?
No, why should they upset? I understand. But I would think if it happens, often something really happened that was negligent.
Yeah.
Okay, you killed somebody. And you'd still be eligible for, let's say, the Ari Mikvah.
Yeah.
Okay? Versus something that was freak accident, okay?
Yeah.
But yet you're
there might be levels of accident.
Right, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, I think the Gemara talks about different levels. The act is going up, the act is going down, it has to be up, and it can't be down. The Gemara talks about it. There's details. It's not as simple as...
Gemara and Makos. Gemara and Makos. The guy comes out of the...
Your mikvah. It could be.
Yeah.
Fair game, yeah. Unless the Kohen Gadol dies. Once the Kohen Gadol dies, he's allowed to leave.
Well,
so what does that mean? What does that seem to be pointing to? It's the fact that once the Kohen Gadol dies, he's allowed to leave.
Is it any Kohen Gadol or is it the main Kohen Gadol? Who is that two Kohen Gadol? One for one, one for...
No, no, no. The main Kohen Gadol. No.
It means that he's there against his will.
Meaning that it's a punishment.
Right?
Oh, so yeah, if it's a punishment, then you might be able to understand that don't bring this case, right? We're trying to bring this case as a proof to answer a totally different case where
right.
we're saying, look, he's not allowed to leave. He's not allowed to leave.
Right.
So we think the reason why he's not allowed to leave is because he's putting himself into a possibly life-endangering situation.
He doesn't have the choice.
Right? So that's what we think. Therefore, the Rambam's saying, don't leave because you might die and you're not allowed to put yourself into a situation of potential where you're putting your life in potential danger. But now we're saying, right, and this idea is brought down, I saw it in the Sefer Chavetz HaSharon written by Rav Karlbach in Yerushalayim. I don't know if there's a relation between him and but Rav Karlbach in Yerushalayim, he's a big time Chacham, and he writes this Sefer Chavetz HaSharon. So he writes in there, he says, well, maybe the reason why you're not the Rotzeach, the guy who killed by accident, the person who killed by accident, can't leave the Eir Miklat is not because he's putting himself into a potentially life-endangering situation, but rather because it's a punishment. Being in an Eir Miklat is a punishment. You're not allowed to leave an Eir Miklat until the Kohen Gadol dies, right? Because you didn't pay you didn't do your time. You need to spend that much time in jail. It could be it's a day. Could be it's a day. That's all you deserve. That's up to Hashem, right? But it could be that you deserve more time. So your punishment is not up. It's not because you are not allowed to go save somebody else. You were a witness that he was innocent. It's not that you can't go save him because you're putting yourself in danger. The reason why you can't go save him is because you need to stand in your mikvah to get your punishment. In which case, this would have no... wouldn't be able to bring it, use it as a proof to answer our question as to whether you're allowed to involve yourself in a case of potential life.
But it does make it interesting from the other angle then. The question is, if you know that your agent will save that person specifically, are you required? Shouldn't your life be, you know, what life then is worth more? Somebody whose life is
saying, let's say it's not a punishment, right? Meaning what you're saying is, let's say it's not a punishment to be an Eir Miklat.
No, and
the reason
it is a punishment.
Well, so then you might not be able to leave because you need to get your punishment.
No, but it, okay. So
let's say it's not a punishment, right? Because it's not so clear. It might be a punishment.
Okay.
Maybe that's why. Otherwise, it could be because the Mishnah is telling you don't endanger your life to save his life. But let's say you're saying, why not? His is a suffix. Mine is a suffix, right? If I leave, maybe the Gol Hadam will find me, right? If Reuven leaves, maybe the Gol Hadam will find the relatives of Shimon will find me. But he can for sure save Levi
right.
from his life being lost.
Even worse, even if you're a prisoner, it's still a suffix whether the person is going to find you if you go out. We're saying if it's
right.
a punishment, okay. So it's like putting somebody in a work detail for all intents and purposes, right? They still have to come back when the job is done. You send them with an escort to protect them,
uh-huh.
make them do their job, and right back they go.
Uh-huh.
Why? I don't see why that other person should be punished. Because
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? On top of.
Yeah.
You're not giving any benefit to the person who's...
Right. I don't trust these people that killed by
him.
Maybe
he's allowed.
No, you're right. You're right. It's a good question. That's the problem here. That you have... Your life is not necessarily going to be in danger. Right?
Yeah.
You can even protect him. Put himself in a, you know, in a bubble. And he'll be fine. And he can definitely save somebody else.
But...
So you're right. That case, you're saying it might be even, if that's true, that you can't save, one minute, if you can't go to save his life, which you can for sure save, right,
that's
in the case of the,
right.
of Makos, so then certainly in our case, that Rav Asher was asked, where it's a group of people who you might be able to save, right, so if you can't do it where you can definitely save a life, certainly you shouldn't do it if you might be able to save a life.
Well, you can't for sure save his life because they might get you before you get there.
You're saying he might be killed.
Right. And other questions. Yeah.
Right. You're saying he may not make it to court.
Yeah.
The Gol Hadam might be waiting outside the gates of the Eir Miklat, in which case.
Yeah.
Right, but but you know that you're going. If you get there, you could definitely do it.
Yeah.
The only question is whether you get there.
Yeah.
As opposed to this case, where Rav Ashi was asked, where even if you get there, you're not sure if you'll be successful.
Yeah, and another question is, when this guy is coming to kill you, are you allowed to defend yourself and kill him?
As a rodish, he's killing. He's trying to kill you. Yeah, probably.
Does the numbers matter?
Does that matter? Or potentially saving a group?
Something.
You don't have to go to the case of Rashi.
But it happens to be the case. The question that was asked was whether he was saving whole people.
Well, what would happen in the spring, though? Like, kill this person or this, where I kill these five. I think no, so.
Right.
Yeah,
that's a big question.
No.
Yeah. Right. But that's.
Why is that different?
Yeah. No. I don't know that it's different.
We kill this one person or I kill these five people. Not kill one person.
Right, unless they specifically ask for that. There's a Tosefta about this. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. About where if somebody, they make a siege on a city, and they say, we're going to kill the entire city unless you give me Plony. Right? And they specifically say Plony, then you can give them Plony to save everybody.
But you again don't know whether that's true or not.
What do you mean? Which part?
Sure, we'll send out Plony and then they come in anyway.
Okay, you're right, but they say we will
that's
spare
like
everybody.
That's like a perfect terrorist thing. You know, you give us X or I'll kill somebody.
They're saying we're going to kill everybody, right. Or give us Plony and we'll leave you alone. All right, just let us kill Plony. So there the Tosefta says you can give them Plony. But in the case where they say give us one person and we'll let everybody else live, then you're not allowed to give any person.
Even if it's a volunteer?
Then you can't draw straws.
What? You can't draw straws? It's random, no?
Well, that's a question. Well, you're saying then it's in the hands of God.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Cutting the straw.
Right. No, can you count straws? I don't remember if you can draw straws.
Or
but
you,
you can't
pick
take somebody.
Why can't you pick another?
I'm a volunteer. Can you get somebody volunteer?
Yeah, but they weren't all Jews. He was the only Jew on the boat. That's how they found that it was his God, right? And they said, Yonah, your God.
Masada, there was a whole punch spot.
Masada, that's a big question, Masada, about what exactly happened there and whether that was, the right response.
Well, I'm just picking from one to whatever, that was enough.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, that we'll talk about next week. It's so late already. That we'll talk about next week. Well, I don't want to talk about this next week. I want to finish this tonight. But that I'll try to touch on that next week, because that does connect to saving your life at the expense of somebody else. Or they're asking, you know that you can trade in your lottery ticket, but you know that somebody else will have to fill the quota. Right? So that's a similar type of question. So fine, so we have this one Gemara, the Gemara in Makos, that seems to point in the direction of you can't get involved. Even if it's going to save somebody else's life, it's a potentially life-dangerous life-threatening situation, you can't get involved. There is a Yerushalmi that seems to say the opposite. The story in the Yerushalmi is in Trumos, where Rav Isi was taken captive, and Rav Yonason started preparing, he was giving up on him. Rav Yonason gave up. He said, they're going to kill him, there's nothing we could do, let's start preparing for his funeral. Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Rish Lakish came along, and Rish Lakish says, let's go try to save him. Rav Yonason said, you can't save him. And Rish Lakish says, I'm going to try to save him, and either Yahrog or Yehareg, either I'll kill them, or they will kill me. Right? And sure enough, Rish Lakish went, and he convinced them to allow Rav Isi to be saved, and he was able to walk out of there with Rav Isi, and Rav Isi was saved. So there are those who bring proof from there. They say, look, the Gemara says that you're allowed to. Rish Lakish got involved. He put himself into a situation where his life was threatened, where his life was in danger, but he said, either Yahrog o Yehareg, either I will kill them or they'll kill me, but I'm going in to fight. I'm going in to put my life on the line in order to save Rav Isi. And that's the...
Well, they do that a lot. Isn't that the idea of rescue missions today, right? They send commands, people in to try and pull somebody out.
That's a plus thing,
right?
Right. So the Ketzef Mishnah explains the reason for this, the reason why Rav Shlakish was allowed to do this was because he was only getting himself into a suffix hakana. He wasn't for sure putting his life in danger. He said, Yaharogo Yeharig. But in the end, he said, I'm going to kill them or they'll kill me. But in the end, he went in and convinced them to let Rabisi out without anybody dying. So he wasn't putting himself into a situation of definite danger. He was putting himself into a situation of potential danger. Never the case of Mishnah says, what?
There's never definite.
There's never definite danger.
Until you're dead.
Until you're in the situation.
No, until you're dead. Miracles happen.
Gun
could,
you know, cannot work. Yeah.
Never
yeah.
definite.
Right. But, yeah. I mean, it's definite when somebody has a gun to your head and says, shoot him or shoot him, you know.
He'll chicken out
of
the next second. He doesn't have the nerve. I
mean,
definite until
you
hold
okay.
people to run your death.
I think we're
talking in absolutes.
No, we're not talking absolutes. I think we're talking, you know, but if looking in from the outside, would you say this is a likely... this is a likely dangerous situation, or is this not likely? You know, it's a questionable. You know, I'm going to talk to them. Are they? Do they have their guns on the table ready to shoot? Or I have a chance I could talk to them and they'll let me walk
away.
So the
chance that we're dealing with a 70-30, 80-20.
Oh, so that's a good question, right? Does it matter about the
degree
of suffix? Right. That's a good question. So that's what the Ketzef Mishnah explains from here. The Ketzef Mishnah was written by Rabbi Yosef Kairo, who also wrote the Shulchan Aruch. So Rabbi Yosef Kairo, in his comments on the Rambam, he says that the reason why the Yerushalmi writes, why Rish Lakish said that he was allowed to go get involved in the situation, is because it was only a questionable danger situation. But it was not a case of definite danger. There is an interesting question that's asked. We know that we have the rule of v'chai bahem. Right? The mitzvahs are supposed to be the source of life. Right? We live with the mitzvahs. V'chai bahem v'lo sheyomus bahem. And generally what that tells us is that the mitzvahs should be mitzvahs that we live with, and not that they shouldn't cause us to die. They should cause us to live. In which case, that usually that will suspend all of the halachas. It's a situation where if I keep a mitzvah, my life will be in danger. Right? Not in a case where somebody might kill me. But just if I'm going to do a dangerous mitzvah, that my life is in danger. So v'chai b'hem v'lo sheyomusem, right? You can be mechal Shabbos, you can violate one Shabbos in order to keep many Shabbos, right? It's a similar idea of v'chai b'hem, because it's supposed to be a source of life. And in the situation of pikuach nefesh, all of the halachas are pushed aside. So the question is, if the reason why you have to save somebody is because of lo sa'amod al dam re'echa, because you're not allowed to stand idly by when your friend is in danger. So, but if by saving him is putting myself in danger, so shouldn't we say v'chai b'hem, that for me the mitzvahs are to live by, and therefore all of the halachas don't apply in the face of v'chai b'hem, so lo sa'amod al dam re'echa shouldn't apply. If my life is going to be in danger, right, so v'chai b'hem tells me, don't worry about all the other halachas, just v'chai b'hem, the mitzvahs are to live by. In which case, the pasuk of Lo Sa'amod Al Dam Re'echa, which tells me go get involved and save him from the dangerous situation, should be suspended, because my life would be in danger. Right? So, the answer that I found to that question, we only say V'chai Bahem, would suspend all of the mitzvahs in the Torah, if no life will be lost. But if somebody's life will be lost, inevitably, either A or B, one of them will be killed. So in that case, we don't say v'chai b'hem, right? Which is why when somebody puts a gun to your head and says, either kill Plony or I'm going to kill you, we don't say, well, v'chai b'hem, I should go and I'm allowed to kill now, right? V'chai b'hem should tell me, well, of course, mitzvahs are to live by. Let me go kill Plony to save my own life. The answer is when there's somebody who's going to die, so we don't say v'chai b'hem. We don't say v'chai b'hem to suspend all other halachas, and somebody will die anyway. So fine. L'maisa, we find we have the Gemara and Mishnah and Makos that seems to say don't get involved. It's usher to get involved. We have the Yerushalmi, which seems to say you can get involved. It's hard to say that Yerushalmi tells you you have to get involved. Because, right, the story with Reish Lakish seemed to be that he was allowed to get involved. It doesn't seem to imply that you have to, because the other, Reb Yonasan, didn't get involved. Right? And if you have to get involved to save your friend from a life-threatening situation, and you getting involved will only be a suffix, a questionably life-threatening situation, and if you have to get involved, then why didn't Reb Yonasan get involved? Why did Reb Yonasan say, oh, well, we lost Reb Yisi? Right? Why was that his response? His response should have been like, Reish Lakish, let's go try to save him. So you see, obviously, that there's no chiyuv. There's no obligation to get involved. The question is it usur, like the Mishnah Makos seems to say, or is it mutter and, you know, an option, like the Yerushalmi says? So, there are different opinions. The Radvaz has two chuvas on it, and in one case he says it's the machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, the machlokas between the Gemara Bavli and Gemara Makos against the Yerushalmi, and generally when we have a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, we follow the Bavli, which would tell you that it's usur to get involved in a potentially life-threatening situation in order to save somebody else's life. However, the Radvaz then writes in the second chuva, in a different place, he writes that it depends on the degree of danger, the degree of suffering. And he says that if, you know, you shouldn't be too careful. The words of the Aruch HaShulchan, which are similar, basically says, don't be too careful with your life, right? If the suffix is nota el havadai, meaning if it's a strong suffix, but it's, you know, 70%, if I get involved here, 70% that I won't come out alive, 30% I'll live, 70% I won't live, then he says, eino chayav limsor atmo, you don't have to give up your life, you don't have to put yourself into that very dangerous situation to save your friend. And even if it's 50-50, so you're not chayav, you don't have to, but you can. Right? He says, you can. But if it's for sure, if it's more than that, and nota el ha'atzolot, 70% I'll be successful to save them, 30% that my life will be in danger, then he says you should get involved. And lo samor adam re'echa does apply. So on the one hand, he says we paskin like the Bavli, like that Mishnah in Makos that seems to say don't get involved. And then the separate Shuvah he says, but that's only if it's a very dangerous situation. That's only if it looks like it's definitely going to be dangerous. But if it's suffix, you know, somewhere in the middle, it's your choice. If it's closer to being safe, and of course every situation potentially could be dangerous, then you have to get involved. Then lo samar odam re'echa does apply. And the Netziv, Rav Natal Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, also writes that midas chasidus to get involved. The Rav Ashri's answer, Rav Ashri's answer was like the Netziv, that there's no chiyuv to get involved, and Rav David Iskivitz didn't have to get involved and put his life in danger in order to try to save the group of yeshiva boys. But he said that it is certainly midas chasidus, that it would be a nice thing and it would be a praiseworthy thing to do. And he quotes the Aruch HaShulchan, who says, don't be too careful with your life at the expense of everybody else's. You know, don't be too nervous about your own life and let everybody else live in danger. But he writes, in the end, he says, so, you know, if the person is a Baal Nefesh, and he is willing to put his life in danger, and he says, especially in this situation, where it's a whole group of yeshiva boys, and the situation where the Nazis in Yimach Shemon were trying to destroy the Torah and destroy Yahadus, and trying to start with all of the yeshiva boys and all of the yeshivas and all of the shuls and all of the leaders of the communities and all of the rabbis, he says certainly, you know, a person should be more inclined to doing so in that situation where that's exactly what the Nazis in Yimach Shemon were trying to destroy. So he says you don't have to, but it would be certainly you're allowed to, and it would be a midas chasidus. The end of that was his answer, especially in this situation. The end of the story is that Rav David Iskovitz did go, he did speak to the officers involved, and he was successful in saving the entire group of yeshiva boys, and his life was not in danger. I do think that unfortunately he was killed later. Rav David Iskovitz was killed later in one of the camps, he writes, but he was successful. He did follow the Midas Chasidus to put his life in danger, get involved in this potentially life-threatening situation in order to save this group of yeshiva boys who were in a definite situation of sakana, and he was successful. Taking the advice of Rav Ashri, he was successful, he saved the yeshiva boys, but unfortunately later in the Holocaust, he was killed. Memory be of